Tonight, we are sponsored by Dropouts. This is quite possibly the fourth time we've started to try and record this episode. So we're going to go quickly before everything goes to heck again.
Yeah, and in advance, just warning, it's very gung-ho. That's not the word I'm looking for. Guerrilla-style recording we've going on here. So we're listening at your own risk.
We've got tin cans on strings plugged into microphone sockets here, and we're just going to go with it.
Webcomics Company Podcast. Visit www.webcomics.co.
Ladies and gentlemen of Comicland, welcome to the Webcomics Company podcast. I have with me tonight some very talented individuals, but in no particular order. Let's try and get this right. We have Luke Healy of Swanee Nook. You can find that over at swanneenook.com.
Hello.
We then have James Spence, creator of Girls in Space. Sorry, I love saying that. Which you can find over at girlsinspace.co.uk. Say hello, James.
Hello, James.
Then we have Zoe Kirk Robinson of The Life of Knob T-Mouse, All Over the House, and in Proof Canon. And you can find all her work over at zoerobinson.com. Say hello, Zoe.
Hello.
And then last but never ever least, we have yet another Luke, just to confuse everybody. It's Luke Searle, who draws a wonderful comic called Luke Searle at lukesearle.com. Say hello, Luke.
Hello!
And that just leaves me. I'm Matt Dyson, and I draw a little cute comic called Moon Kyo over at moonkyo.com. Right! So, guys, topic-wise, I think we were talking about security, hacking, and whatnot, and things like that, were we not?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does one of our recent hackies want to give us an introduction, Luke?
Okay. I think both James and... James and I had probably the same hack attack, and I think I've heard similar things come across different sites. We both run WordPress, and I believe some nasty, horrible, foul excuse for a human being somewhere found some backdoor into WordPress and basically turned our sites into for generic Viagra and other similar things like that. I don't know how it manifested on your site, but on mine it was actually fairly insidious. I didn't really notice it for a week because it didn't appear on the main site, but it was sort of hidden code underneath.
Yeah.
It was coming up, and I noticed that my RSS feed basically went down. Which is, right. I think, really a side effect of the code. And also, my dad told me that when he Googled my name, no, it was my dad Googling my name, not me.
We believe you, Lou.
I am not bad, I don't, but tell me that I got results in Google on my website. And I found that eventually I found some hidden links hidden away that were pointing to some sort of semi-legal pharmacies sort of thing. So that's a similar thing that you had, James.
Very similar. I found out that it was a site that I had to do with my book, Silly Beggar, and I found out later from the server that it was actually one of the files, it was renamed an actual PHP file that's normally within the WordPress setup. It got hacked, and so that any time anyone went to that particular page within my site, that was reinfecting not just that site, but every site that was on the server. So it meant that all my sites went down, including all my comics plus my wife's business website and all that. They all like you had that sort of line of code, and again Google had sort of flagged them up as being full of malware and stuff. So yeah, it was a bit of a nightmare. And the worst part of it was because it kept getting reinfected, I could go in and find where the malicious lines of code were and take them out, and that would cure it for about 15 minutes. And then after that, it would all get reinfected again. And frustratingly, I couldn't figure out where it was all coming from.
Are you fully healthy now?
Yes, fully healthy now, and yeah. A lot more informed than I was this time 2 weeks ago. I discovered that the way that it had got into my site in the first place was because I'd been doing some work on an old comic of mine. I was wanting to tidy up the website a wee bit. So I'd opened up an FTP program, a file transfer program, and I'd connected up. It came up with a little message that said, do you want to connect securely or unsecurely? And I'd accidentally clicked the unsecure link, and I have since learned that there are sites and people out there who wait for that to happen. They wait for you to slip up and click the wrong button. And as soon as you do that, then they can get in there and they can put in files into your site. So, yeah. So my advice to everyone is only ever connect with a secure FTP server.
There is one other main piece of advice I can offer to stop this from happening, because a lot of the times this just happens when people haven't kept their WordPress up to date. WordPress gets updated very frequently nowadays. And nowadays you can update it directly from the back console. There's a button and it will tell you when there is an update for it. But those updates are usually security updates, blocking things that let people do things like this. And you really have to keep on top of it. I had this happen a few months ago to me. I think I mentioned it on an earlier podcast. A similar sort of thing where I got people advertising on my website when I didn't want them to. And it, for me, it was because, quite frankly, I hadn't updated WordPress. A new update had come, and it had been a couple of months before I actually updated it. And in those couple of months, these hackers used a backdoor exploit in WordPress that had existed that had since been patched. So, yes, update WordPress, update your plugins, just keep everything up to date.
Yeah, well, one thing I will just say at this point is that I'm pretty sure that it wasn't an infectious infection on our site. So if you visited mine or James's site recently, you won't have been infected. There's no chance that your computer will be under any form of risk.
No, these are usually just they're not viruses. Yeah, as we said, they're just nasties. A lot of the time, they're just trying to get free advertising from websites that aren't their own.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened with mine. I was on holiday, and an update for WordPress came out because they found this exploit that if you hit WordPress with the right requests, it turned into FTP mode and allowed you to change files and upload things. And they put in a special piece of text into robots.txt, which is the part of the site that Google indexes. So the whole of my site was fine except for robots.txt, which was also what is used to generate links off my website. So if you click on the Twitter button or the Facebook button, instead of tweeting about my page, you now tweeted about generic Viagra from a Canadian pharmacy.
Oh, no.
Google saw it as a set of links. So I thought that was quite clever because I didn't notice for about a month after I got back from holiday.
And it
was there for a month stealing my link juice. So I dropped so far down Google rankings. It was amazing.
I think that the real moral of the story here is that you should have a really crappy generic HTML page website.
To be honest, yes. Although the robots.txt file, if they could work out how to get on your server, that exploit would still work.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, my wife's site, the one I built for her, was it was a basic HTML page, and I'm afraid it got infected as well.
Oh, no.
Sorry.
The moral of the story
is that every time we find a spammer, we're just going to beat them to death with a stick.
The moral of the story is you should draw your comic on paper and pin it up in your local library.
Yes, and never go on the internet ever.
But they're all
and this
closing.
Has been the final Webcomics Company podcast.
From now on, we'll just record it on a tape deck and then post that to each other to add the next section.
Am I right in thinking that sometimes you can't take the latest version of WordPress if you are running Comic Press until they've updated the Comic Press so that it's so that they've tested it and make sure it works on the latest version of WordPress?
I've never had that problem in the past myself.
I remember I had a few problems, but I'm using an incredibly old version of Comic Press now, and to be honest, the only thing that's broken these days is the random comic function, which I could probably fix if I could be bothered.
I'm actually not using Comic Press anymore. I'm using the Webcomics plugin for WordPress, and to be honest, I'm finding it a hell of a lot easier to use.
Yeah. I have to say, I don't see the problem that a lot of people have said with Comic Press.
I've never had a problem with Comic Press as such. I tried this for the hell of trying it more than anything else.
Fair enough. But yeah, so, I'm quite happy with Comic Press myself. And it's every time I update it, it doesn't cause problems. So I think some people are unlucky and some people have customized it a lot more than I have.
Customizations are things that I'm not quite sure exactly how they work, but there's ways of doing it that stay when you update and ways of doing it which don't stay when you update. I think it's child themes.
Usually though, if you're up on WordPress enough to have modified it, then you're up on WordPress enough to fix it when you update yourself.
Yeah.
I know enough to be able to fiddle around with it when it gets updated if anything's slightly broken.
Do you have a question for the team? If so, pose it at www.webcomics.co.
Webcomics Company Podcast.
So, what did you guys do to fix your sites? I mean, worst case scenario, someone who's listening, their site's got a similar thing going on. What should they do?
Well, for myself, I had gone through and, well, initially I'd discovered that it was these links were growing back after I'd removed them. And I think unfortunately at that stage, I kind of had to admit that it was beyond my technical expertise. And if you're lucky and you're with a host who are prepared to sort of go in and sort of look at that kind of thing, then they'll often go in and, they'll have experienced a lot of these things before. So for me, my hosts, I'm with HostGator, who are based in America, and they were actually very helpful and they went through and found all the malicious bits of code in there.
Yeah, my story is similar. My host is DreamHost. I emailed them. After about a week, I tried emailing somebody else, but then they didn't get back to me. And eventually, I just emailed my host and said, basically crying, and said, please help me, please help me. What they did was they ran a scan. And I believe it is a freely available scanning system. I haven't actually used it myself, but I will, after we finish recording, I'll have a little investigation and see if I can find a link. We might put it in the post related to this podcast episode. Mm-hmm. They ran a scan and said basically these files are infected, and it was a very long list because what I'd done, and I think this is what my Achilles heel was, is I'd been using my server as a backup, and so I had about 8 or 9 backups over the last 2.5 years of various points of my site. And each of these old sites had old versions of WordPress in them. And I think they were the ones that got hacked. So I deleted everything that wasn't being actively used. and then there were three files in my current site that were being, which were on the list. I then went through and looked at the actual PHP of those files, and there was a section which was obviously alien in each of those.
Right.
And I deleted those out manually, and it appeared to work.
By that he means, by alien, he means they were written in Klingon?
They were written in 64-bit encoded. So there was, it was nothing obvious, but it was a line of code that was about several thousand characters long and gobbledygook. Ah. And I believe that when you decrypt that bit of PHP, you get basically the spammer code.
Yeah, you do.
They're a little bit clever about that, but not clever enough.
Yeah, the BIM64 exploit it's been around for a couple of years now, and it's awful. Because every time WordPress updates, whichever guy, I want to call him something else, but I won't, because we'll keep it clean. Whichever guy is responsible for a BIM64 exploit, he then updates it to correspond with a new version of WordPress, and it's been going around for years.
Mm. What I really want to know is, do they get any click-throughs or sales off this spam? I mean, really?
Yes. I think they do. Right.
Who's that guy who's clicking it?
It's the same guy who, whenever a Nigerian general asks him for his bank details, he gives it.
Dear that guy who bought Viagra through these lists, while you're at it, buy a Moon Kyo book.
Yes.
If you're that gullible, why not?
Yeah. That's it. I had a really annoying exploit. It was similar to what you guys have had. And the way I got rid of it was to just remove my entire WordPress theme and then replace it with the one from Knob Mouse, because it was all over the house, got infected, but they're running the same version of CommonPress, they're running the same version of WordPress. So I copied everything over, rewrote the code that customized it, and then found that the problem was still there. And then I had to go through every other piece of code, and eventually I found it in robots.txt, which I just deleted and replaced.
Right.
It took me about an hour and a half.
I went to the other extreme, because when I actually had my attack, I was thankfully in the process of already trying to decide if I wanted to upgrade the site, move over from Comic Press to the Webcomics plugin and things like that, and I was trying to decide what I wanted to do, and I already needed to do a sufficient amount of work on the website that it was going to be a huge job anyway. So I made the big decision that I was going to take enough of the spam code out for it to be fine and not infect anything else and not to show these stupid adverts up on my site, but not worry about getting all of it. And I then spent an entire weekend in another folder, another directory on my web server, starting from scratch, and I started with a brand new WordPress install, and I started with a brand new version of everything, brand new database from scratch. So
that's not the other extreme. The other extreme is to put a bandana on, get some knives on your back so you've got big holsters, and then go on a massive rampage.
Nuke it from orbit, it's the only way to be sure.
Yeah, you see, that's the other extreme. What you did was extreme, but it wasn't the other extreme. Quite further.
Yeah, the other extreme doesn't have an E at the start. It's just extreme.
You didn't go Rambo on them.
I should have done. That would have been fun.
I think if 100% professional thing to do is to make regular backups of your site and databases and keep them offline in a box.
Yeah.
Which is a lot of work. But if you want to be 100% secure, that's really that's the absolute way to go. I think there are ways of doing that in the cloud as well.
Well, you could use Dropbox or something like that.
I back up to Amazon Web Services. I have an account with them. And if you're just using it for backup, the costs for having an Amazon Web Services storage account is really negligible.
Cool.
Or you could just post all your comments on Blogspot.
Actually, comments, I have those backed up anyway, because I'm using... intense debate for my commenting on my on the webcomic now.
Oh, I said comics, but
I'll go sit in the corner. It's fine.
But it is a big point. If you're really wanting to do this professionally, or you think you might go professionally at a later date, the moment that you get popular, you are going to get hacked and attacks all the time. People are going to go straight for you.
So oh, yeah.
You've got to have the backups there. It's worth, before you get to the big time, starting to get into that habit.
The second you become popular, it's like strapping a big sign around your neck saying, come at me, bro, come at me.
Pretty much, yes.
Thankfully, nobody knows who I am.
But yeah, get into the habit while you're still fairly anonymous.
Yeah, and also if you are backing up, it's probably worth not just overwriting the same backup all the time, because if you end up getting infected when you do your backup, you then don't have any backup to that.
Or if you're like me and you didn't notice for a month or so, well, I do weekly backups. There's three or four of my backups that are infected.
Right.
So you do need multiples.
And just while we're vaguely on the subject of backing things up, back up your comics onto a separate hard drive.
Oh, yes.
And don't just back up the web resolution saves of your comic. You need to back up the original Photoshop files if you work in Photoshop or something similar. You need to back up the full resolution stuff, because web resolution saves are useless if you ever want to do print and things like that.
Well, unfortunately, I learned that one the hard way. I had a little comic called the Cat Comic, which it only ran for 50 episodes. And unfortunately, when I got to the 50th episode, my hard disk on my Mac completely died, and I hadn't backed up a single one of the high-res files. So I now only have the web versions of them. All that work gone.
You kick yourself so much when something like that happens.
Ah, it was a nightmare. Yeah.
I believe it happened to Penny Arcade, of all people.
No.
They have actually lost some of the high-res versions. A considerable number of their comics they don't have high-res versions for.
Oh, wow.
I think at some point Jeff Jacks did it for some of the earlier QCs as well.
Oh, right.
Yes, he did. Didn't he mention that in the book?
He did, yeah.
And so he's drawn a new version, and on those pages where he's lost them and just has the web resolution, he's got the original version in web format and the new version, and then underneath he just talks about how his art's expanded, which is a nice way of doing it, but it's a lot of work.
I don't know if I lost mine, I don't know if I would start again. That's one I just don't think I would.
And I know that I've lost a couple of my full resolution ones due to producing the comics late at night and then accidentally saving over the top of my book ones.
This happened to me, and then somebody emailed me and said, this has only really happened once, I would like to pay you some money to put that comic in my magazine. And I was like, crap!
Oh, no. It's always the one, isn't it?
Did you redraw it for them?
Yeah, well, I mean, they're paying me, so...
Yeah.
That's incentive enough.
Yeah, I got out the pen and paper and redrew it.
Cool.
Yeah.
When I lost all those Cat Comic ones, I actually lost two pages of Girls in Space, so I had to redraw them, but I kind of figured two pages, it was just about the limit of what I was prepared to do at that stage.
You are listening to the Webcomics Company podcast. Stay tuned for more banter.
Is there any good solution? I was just thinking in general. Some people might be listening to this and not know what PHP is, not really know much HTML even. And in a way, are there solutions for people who generally don't understand these sort of things and don't really have the time to learn them?
Yes, but I wouldn't recommend them. There's all the things like DrunkDuck and other such comic hosting providers where you become part of a site, part of a community as such, which a lot of people swear by, and don't get me wrong, there are people that do that and enjoy it, but it's not something I'd recommend if you're serious about doing your comic in the long term and getting out there and getting yourself known.
Nice
if you can always model a bit like the newspaper ones, where basically you draw a comic, you give it to a man, and then the man gives you the man does all the stuff and then gives you some money.
I don't
that's actually it actually happens on the web anymore.
Yeah, it's not a realistic idea anymore, unfortunately, because let's face it, who amongst us would, if I had that option, said no, I'd like to run all of my own stuff and have to deal with all these problems myself. I'll go with that. Cause I'd have gone with the man model.
Yeah, me too. Like I
quite like having control over stuff, to be honest.
Well, the control's nice, but control to a certain extent, as far as I go.
See, I would consider myself one of those people who has no knowledge of HTML or PHP.
Mm-hmm.
My solution was basically to just make a plain page with some images on it, like two of which are clickable. And I could have done what I've done in Microsoft Word. And it's hosted on what is essentially like an online backup service, but one that has a web folder. So it's actually for people to like download business documents and stuff. But if your browser encounters a HTML page, obviously it's going to display it.
Right.
So yeah, much like this podcast, my website is just held together with string.
At one point, look, you've been talking about redoing your website. Are you still planning on doing that?
I'm terrible with computers, basically, and I tried so many times to make a WordPress site, and I just can't do it.
If you want a hand, I'm very willing to help you out, Luke.
Well, that's a lovely offer. I might take you up on that sometime in the future.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, well, thank you. But there are ways to get your comics online with no knowledge of that internet madness. They're just really bad ways. So learn it, kids.
This isn't the Webcomics Company podcast dissing things like Drunk Duck and everything like that. This is me dissing things like Drunk Duck and things like that. They're very good for some people. It's just not the way that I tend to use, that I tend to like to put things out there. You don't have as much control over certain things. And I'm a control freak when it comes to my comic.
You don't have to know much PHP and HTML to learn to do comic presents. And I learned most of what I know pretty much on the job, fiddling around with templates. Yeah. I definitely don't know PHP, but I know enough to sort of look at something and roughly know what is sort of pointing where, but Comic Press provides you with a whole load of templates.
Comic Press is so easy when you get used to it, as is the Webcomics plugin as well, which I also like pimping because I do like, because that's what I'm using at the moment, but they're both so simple once you get into using them. And if you can use WordPress, which essentially is just another blogging platform, if you've used Blogger, you can use WordPress. If you've used Tumblr, you can use WordPress. And all it's doing really is you're having a WordPress install on some web space that you use. So, and web space isn't that expensive nowadays. It's not nearly as expensive as it used to be. It's just getting a standard install on there. Both of these are just plugins for the standard install, and then you're away. You're doing all you need to do to put a comic up there is click new webcomic, post it, and you're done.
Yeah. So for we're actually installing WordPress, a lot of servers have, when you log into them, they've got something called Fantastical, which is a way of going in and you can select whether you want to create a brand new like WordPress site or Joomla or you know, various other sort of off-the-shelf content management systems. So yeah, all you do is basically select it, assign yourself a username and password, and it's pretty much as simple as that.
Most of the hosting providers now either have Fantastica or they will have simple scripts as well as getting up there as well, which just does exactly the same thing. But yeah, as you mentioned, it's just it'll take you through installing WordPress on your web space, just like a wizard, really. It'll ask you what you want it to be called, if you want it to be in the main directory of your web server, on what domain, what your admin password and username should be, and things like that. And it's quick and simple. And installing plugins in WordPress is now a lot easier than it ever used to be, because you can do that straight from the back end now. You don't have to do any messing around with uploading things over FTP. You can do it straight from the back end now. Just click a few buttons, search for the plugin you want, and you're done.
Yeah. So what have we learned this episode? What are our lessons for the
listeners? We have learned that new Skype sucks.
Well, yes, new Skype does suck. But one thing that we have learned, definitely, is you just have to be vigilant. Regardless of what you're using for your website, you've got to keep an eye on it.
Keep things updated with the latest security releases, no matter what.
Mm-hmm. Back up. Hello. Really, just try and back up and keep those backups offline, or at least in somewhere in the cloud somewhere.
You should also back up
and secure FTP programs, not unsecure FTP programs.
the robot just went off here.
Wow, we have good timing.
We have very good timing. Right, shall I wrap it up, boys and girls?
Do it.
Yes, please.
Sounds good.
Right, ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to the Webcomics Company podcast. You can find our website at webcomics.co, and you can find all our lovely people at the various websites. You can find Swanny Nook at swannynook.com. You can find Girls in Space at girlsinspace.co.uk. You can find Zoe's multitude of projects at zoerobinson.com. And you can find Luke Searle at lukesearle.com. And finally, you can find Moo and Kio at mookio.com. Say goodbye, everybody.
Before we go, I think we should mention, could we advertise the mailbag if people want to prompt us to what to talk about next, or they have questions about what we have said in this or any previous podcast?
You heard the man, boys and girls. You need to get onto your email, get onto our website, and ask us some silly, stupid questions. Well, not silly, jumpy, but related to webcomics preferably, and we'll do our best to answer them.
Certainly will. We've got a comments form on the website. If you don't want to use email, you can go straight to that, and that just has a little place you can put your comments in or ask us a question, and that'll fire off to us. Or you can email us at mailbag@webcomics.co.
We've been lots of people. You've been listeners. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to the Webcomics Company podcast. See you in 2 weeks' time.
Yay, we managed to get through an entire episode.
We found out it didn't record.
Yeah. That's the point where we all cry.
I swear, if it didn't record, I'm actually going to go find and punch a baby. And I wouldn't be that angry.
I've been memorizing the entire conversation, so I can just repeat it if need be.